I'm a member of the Select Committee. I'm representing the Northwest Province in the NCOP.
Good morning, my name is Willem Faber and I represent the Northern Cape Province in the National Council of Provinces on the Select Committee.
Good morning, my name is Samantha Mkandla and I'm here on behalf of the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, my name is Jodi Amabuza Mopoku from the Department of Social Security.
Morning, I'm Colleen Mamalo from Social Development. I'm responsible for feminism and social crime prevention programs, which includes substance abuse, victim empowerment, social crime and feminism.
Good morning, my name is Zain Dango. I'm the Special Advisor to the Minister of Social Development. I think just also to clarify that the board is also the Secretariat for the Central Drug Authority.
Morning, I'm Mike Waters, Democratic Alliance MP from the NA.
Good morning, my name is Chukwu Lekanya Kotswana from the Constitution.
Good morning, my name is Yolisano Kenga. I'm from the PC, Social Development Committee.
Good morning, I'm Salvini, Committee Secretary for the Information and Justice Program.
Good morning, my name is Cindy Lanzana. I'm the Community Secretary for the PC.
My name is Cindy Lanzana. I'm going to
Honourable members, we have a program here that has been developed, and the agenda says we had to receive the presentation from the Faculty Department. We will allow that. Then afterwards, we have to adopt the program. I hope Honourable Waters and Honourable Fete, who is working in, will assist us, because we, as from the side of the NOP, as the Select Committee, we didn't have any opportunity or a chance to look at the program of action, because we were engaged in many other responsibilities at the NOP. So we will guide us in that respect. Honourable Father?
Yes, Madam Chair. I also just wanted to be noted to me it's inexcusable that the Portfolio Committee Chair, Mrs. Witter, can't be here, as I'm also from Kimberley, and all the other MPs could be on time. She should be on time as well. Thank you.
At this stage, let me allow the Department to make the presentation on the facilitation of the recruitment process and development of candidates to serve the CCA board. If you are ready, Ms. Makoko or Ms. Mamalo? Yes, please.
Thanks. Ms. Mamalo will make the presentation, but also just apologize on behalf of the Director General and the Minister. There's a post-op meeting. They are not allowed to stay absent for any reason, of course. ministers also engaging in cabinet meetings in Pretoria at the moment.
Well, thank you for the apology. I think all members will also understand that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will take you through the appointment process of the Central Drug Authority. The presentation will cover basically what is the CDA, the powers and functions, why it became why there is some vacancies at the moment, why do we have to interview, requirements and time frame, security checks that we're proposing for candidates, and then we'll conclude. CDA is a statutory body established in terms of the Prevention and Treatment of Drug Dependency Act, which is Act No. 20 of 1992 as amended. Members of the CDA are appointed by the minister, and they consist of 12 persons from the private sector who are experts in the field of substance abuse and nominated representatives from 15 government departments and 2 entities. This authority is supported by the secretariat, as then indicated in Dr. Mokoko is the head of that secretariat. Now, it is important for me, Honorable Chair, to just clarify that the 15 government officials are not going to be interviewed. They're just nominated by the respective ministers. Then the minister just endorses. So the interview or the meeting we are about today is about the 12 experts from the private sector, because that's where we are. In terms of the powers and functions of this authority, as I indicated, they are appointed in terms of the Act. It is clear in the Act, the way I've just copied them as they are supposed to give effect to the National Drug Master Plan. National Drug Master Plan is a 5-year plan. Currently, they are finalizing a new one. We had another one that was from 2008, I think, to 2012. So every 5 years, because it is linked to the term of office of that particular authority when it's appointed. So with this one, there will be a new master plan that will be adopted by Cabinet soon this year, before the end of this year. So they make sure they give effect in terms of implementation. They also advise the minister on any matter affecting issues of substance abuse and drugs in the country. And in terms of that, as they may plan, coordinate, and promote measures relating to the prevention and combating of drugs and the treatment of persons dependent on drugs. They also review, as I indicated, the National Drug Master Plan every 5 years. So before the end of the term, they start the process of reviewing, so that when the new one comes in, they have a new plan to work on. Okay, they also report to Parliament on progress every year, annually. They submit an annual report in terms of combating substance abuse in the country. They are also charged with the responsibility of arranging conferences or summits relating to combating substance abuse in the country. Also, they can exercise such powers and perform such duties as may be determined by the minister from time to time. That's how it is stipulated in the Act currently. Therefore, the composition, I indicated the 12 nominated members through the public process. However, the representatives from government are from arts and culture, correctional services, education, finance, intelligence center, international relations and cooperation, health as a department, and also medicine control council. We also need a nominee there. So not one person will represent both. There's a representative from the Department of Health, and there's also a representative from the medicine control council. And then Home Affairs, Justice and Constitutional Development, Labour, National Youth Commission. We put it like that because in the Act is currently like that, but we recognize that there are changes. That's why I put stroke NYDA. Social Development, South African Police Services, South African Revenue Services, Trade and Industry, Transport. That was the final one. Now, in terms of this statutory body, this is just a schematic representation of how they do their business. where they report to the minister. Now, there they are in between. They review their national drug master plan. They ask for public input and departmental input from various government departments. And then they operate through that those departments and also 9 provincial substance abuse forums. So each and every province has got its own provincial forum. And we also have local drug action committees. In total, there are supposed to be 328 local drug action committees, but we're not yet there in terms of establishment. And then there's implementation and reporting through working with NGOs and broader communities. Now, why is there a vacancy for now? The term of office, as I indicated, has come to an end in April this year. So currently we do have a board or an authority. The minister just extended their office until 30th September with the hope that the appointment process will be completed by that time. So there was an advert that was out last year, November, and it was closed December 2011. And these members, as I indicated, I think it's a reputation, they are appointed in terms of that act, and their term of office expired as indicated then. These members are appointed to serve in their capacity as individuals, but also act in the best interest of the people as a whole and act in accordance with the act. Because what happens is that a person, even if there's an advert, a person doesn't apply on his or her own. Somebody must nominate him to serve. So you need to accept whether you accept the nomination. And then you see the files, there are also confirmations where a person is confirming that I accept the nomination. They also need to make time to do work for CDA. And then in terms of the Act, meetings are held approximately 6 times a year. The Act is saying twice, the general meeting is 5 minutes. But however, because of the work, sometimes they meet more than 2 times. Sometimes it's 4 times. And there are also subcommittees within the authority itself where they meet more often than what the Act prescribes. As I indicated, those subcommittees, we need these people to be committed to serve on those subcommittees, and we really need their knowledge in the area of substance abuse to contribute effectively. As I indicated, the nomination process. Now, from bullet 2, we made proposals. This is not in the Act, because the Act just says 12 people from private sector. So to have spread, we suggested this category. But somehow they might be creating challenges for us. But unfortunately, the advert, when it went out, it categorized the representation as I will be presenting. We said we need 3 representatives from NGOs, 3 representatives from the research councils and universities, also 1 representative from business and the industry. And industry meaning the industry we're trying to fight. So it's one controversial area that we think is not working, and maybe the committee may want to reconsider as they look at the CVs. Fortunately, when we looked at the nominations, we didn't receive applications from the very industry. Otherwise, we would be having challenges on how we deal with it. So we say thank you because we didn't receive it. Because really, when you sit back and look, how do you appoint a person from the industry to work in the authority and try, because they are running a business and you are trying to fight something here. So it's one controversial area. The next controversial area is the one for treatment centers. I'll come to it, but let me speak to the one for trade unions. We also need a rep from that area. We're also saying 1 rep from community-based organizations and faith-based organizations. Now, that one of alcohol and drug treatment center is also an area we think there's a lot of interest and a lot of vested interest in members. If a member serves in this authority and is running a facility, it creates challenges. We have seen that, so we want to reconsider that problem, because it's not in the Act, it's something we can always change. sorry, and also a representative from the Addiction Counselor Association. It's also one area that really creates a challenge for us. So those are the only three currently controversial categories that we think we need to reconsider with the current appointments. Security check, we are proposing that previously they haven't gone through security checks, but we're suggesting that this new board should go through security clearance and disclosure of business interest because of the lessons we've learned. We propose that let the department conduct the security checks after the committee has made recommendations, because we only do security checks for people who have been recommended for appointment, not for everybody we've applied. So in conclusion, it is requested that the committee note the progress, the process that we've outlined, and also the committee is requested to shortlist, because there is a list of CVs that we received, 61 of them, through the process of advertising, and we're also requesting the committee to conduct interviews for the nominees and make recommendations to the minister for appointment in terms of Section 3B of the Act 20 of 1992, because that's the section that mandates the committee to do the interviews and make recommendations. Thank you.
I just need to clarify the point about conflict of interest, which my colleague raised.
Yes.
It's an important one. When we talk about industry, at point we are lucky in this case that we're not getting, for example, nominees to sit on the board from the alcohol industry, for example, because that conflict of interest is quite significant. And what it does is it develops a kind of strategy that the CDA needs to get to talk about. Secondly, the conflict of interest in the end also with the requirement that people come from treatment centers, we found that when we started talking about broader strategies such as harm reduction strategies, which may fall outside of the current purview of certain treatment centers, people tend to talk about what's in the best interest of their own business as opposed to looking at the issue of harm reduction in relation to drugs in particular. So I think the issue of conflict of interest is a very important one for both committees to look at when we do the vetting, that we need to try and minimize as much as possible conflicts of interest in terms of the kind of advice that will be given to the minister. Because what we did find is that the work of the CDA was hamstrung because discussions took forever. And what we found, for example, is when we set up the Interministerial Committee on Alcohol and Substance Abuse and set up a technical team to support that committee at very senior level, with the CDA supporting that, things moved a lot more faster in 6 months than 2 years of the CDA deliberating on the same issue. So I think it's important to just note that's why we put that in the presentation.
Honorable Chair, I have a welcome to the next team. When you said that representative from the industry,
I thought maybe it's not crossing my mind. But is it from the drugs industry or what? Or have you considered also the issue of maybe see, an expert, say a pharmaceutical expert, will be able to tell about the effect of certain substances and so on? That was my question.
Yes, Honorable.
Yeah, I think I have the same sentiment to say what you were saying. I think I would be happy if you were referring to both one representative from business and industry, and also one representative from alcohol and drug treatment center, because I think they're both a conflict of interest. I wanted to check whether we should not remove those, because when you were making your presentation, you said we should consider as this policy. So I think what we need to do, because we mean business this time, we don't want, you know, conflict of interest. Then I'll propose both these two lines if the committee agrees with me. And then we are happy, let's say we're happy that they did not apply to the representative from business and industry, because industry is selling this stuff. So it can be part of typically some of them are actually causing problems for our community. Then the other one is on page 14. When you talk about the security check, you refer to the lesson of your brand. I was wondering if you can make one or two examples of lessons you've learned so that we know at this committee what kind of lessons you're talking about. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. My one question was going to be what Honourable Shvetsi just asked you about the lessons learned, if you could expand on that, and the need for security checks, and also on the requirements. I mean, you reiterated several times that the act of silence on the 12 members doesn't dictate from which sector this should come from, and I don't think we should be confined to that. We need to get the 12 best people. That's my view. So I think we restrict ourselves to three people from a particular sector, we might be losing out on some skills that we desperately need. And then just from the beginning, first of all, I don't know, obviously we haven't got the list yet. How many of the existing board members are up for being nominated? I think we need to know that, because we also need to know how effective they were. And I think the committee needs to know, how many meetings they attended during their five-year term, and what effect they actually gave to the the National Drug Master Plan. As you said on page 4 of your presentation, that they expected, to give effect to the plan. Can you give us an indication how they've done that in the last 5 years? How they've given effect to the plan? And in what way, criticism or a concern that's been raised in the past is the fact that the board has no teeth, basically. It's actually just their name, quite frankly. And so how can we best improve sort of the muscle of the board so that they actually do have some say and they can get the plan implemented? Then as far as you mentioned about the new drug master plan, that it comes in with the new term of the board. The fact is the plan decided before the board takes over, or when they get when they get appointed in September or October, do they then start developing the plan from scratch? If you can give us some indication, because what I suspect from you is that the new plan is already sort of being developed without the new board's input. And so doesn't that have an impact on how the board would operate and how they would, I suppose, embrace the plan? Okay, and then on page 8, that organogram that you've given us, I mean, this is a real situation, but you'll also recall, because that many departments don't have their mini drug master plan, and actually couldn't be bothered. Many of the departments that serve on the board don't have, like, education, doesn't have, from the last parliamentary report. So could you give us an indication of how you think that should be addressed, how departments should be compelled to provide the mini drug master plan? And you mentioned that we don't have the 328 local drug action committees. How many do we have that's currently not just there in name but active? And also, how many of the non-provincial substance abuse forums are actually active and established? Thank you, Sheila. Those are my questions.
Thank you, let me take this opportunity to welcome my colleague, Honorable Yolanda Boda, the co-chairperson of this committee. Yeah, we have just received the presentation from the department on the appointment of the central drug. Yeah, so members are just commenting and posing some questions on that. And maybe at some stage when we are done with that, when we move to the consideration of the program, you will need us on that because you're quite familiar with this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Well, part of my questions were just raised by Honorable, I think it's Waters, but I would want to take one other question further. In terms of what you said on page 11, that members will be required to have an extensive knowledge. Whether I just want to check if you're referring to the first 12, which I know, as you indicated, comes from the private practice. But if you're not referring to only that 12, you're referring to the entire board. I just want to check in terms of what would you measure their extensive knowledge. Is it in terms of their qualification in the field of drugs or their involvement in drugs and get rehabilitated? I wanted to check that. And if you do that, how are you going to attest the extensive knowledge if you're not actually subjecting them to interview, you appoint them to the board? That's one other thing. If I heard you correct, you said they are going to be appointed into a board, so they are not going to be screened in terms of the interview. And the other question is on the Demogunyana touched on it, the business and the industry. You said the industry did not submit, you know, in terms of the application, but the business did. So I want to check the distinctions between the business and, on page 12, the business representative and the industry. Because I was looking at the industry as the bigger ones, the ones that they do it, like, for example, I would say SAP, as an industry, but looking at the same substance abuse in terms of alcohol now, looking at the bottle store as a business. But if people from the business who are selling now outlet who are on the counter, at the counter we are selling, if they have applied, how are they going to be objective in terms of if they are regarded as business, not industry? On the other part is on page 13. I want to know what is the compelling reasons to include my trade unions as part of the board. Yes, I think that was my last question.
Honorable Father, followed by Honorable Yolanda Kiwota and Makoyana. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think mine was actually answered because we were talking over the composition requirements, and I think Honourable Waters did touch that. So, yes, and then you also spoke about there were three categories that you had problems with. And the one was, for instance, the representatives from teachers, trade union. And I mean, obviously there are a few trade unions, etc. If we look on page 13... I think you said there were three. I would just like to have some clarity. You said there were three divisions that you had.
Number one, thank you, Honorable Chair, on alcohol and drug treatment center, the addiction counselors, and the other one was not here. Was on the individual.
Okay, thank you very much. No, they're not covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We really apologize for being late, but if you live in Northern Cape then you have to go by a briefing, then you have to sign up. But I want to come to the point around the dissertation report with regard to business and industry. Besides the sector that represents what about the pharmaceutical industry? Do you have the rest of that industry? we should look at the composition of the board. We should look at efficiency because we are still waiting for the results of the program, which is almost 12 months later. We haven't seen the results yet from the CDA. And through the CDA's annual reports on the later part of the report, we'll table the annual report on time. And that also directly leads to the efficiency surrounding the work of the provincial drug action committee. Because that is true that we actually picked up when we were discussing the CDA report. So to me those issues are really important, Madam Chairperson, because Honourable Chairperson, look at the Act requirements. And I agree with the issue around security clearance and exposure of the research. I think that's very important. I'm sure that board members, maybe Mr. Tumalo and Mr. Chairperson, if they have a code of conduct that they also sign, then they are appointed onto the board. Yeah, that's my contribution.
I hope your question is not being complicated. What exactly is the mandate of the authority? As they said, the things that work for pharmaceuticals, abuse of pharmaceuticals, like screaming, adult beauty, so called beauty thing. That doesn't extend to that.
If you are ready, don't come up.
can respond to the. I must just remind or just sensitize you that the next committee will be also calling you very soon, the CPA, or to those who are available currently to come and make a presentation to the next committee, because they wanted to invite you, but because of many other things that we are doing in the first committee, we couldn't let you in. But definitely this time we will invite you. Over to you.
Thanks, yeah. Just a couple of some of the broader issues around capacity and conflict of interest, and my colleagues will deal with specificities on board members that are up for nomination again. I mean, my interaction as sort of part of the technical team for the Interministerial on Substance Abuse for the Minister, what I found is that the people on the CDA that was most useful to the work are those with extensive knowledge of what are the issues that impact on sort of demand and supply, both in terms of alcohol and drugs. So if one looked at representatives from the Medical Research Council, for example, I found that kind of capacities were the capacities that really made the most difference, because they took a public health approach to the issue. Obviously, there were people working in treatment centers who were equally knowledgeable and useful, but there was in the areas of conflict of interest, and I think that needs to be tested through interview processes. So I think that for me is, in the absence of individual board member evaluation, that kind of observation is useful to take into account. So I think a guiding principle would be, irrespective of the category that we put up, is that people with the most, with the best capacity in terms of looking at the issues from a scientific perspective and a public health perspective, and also with a broad perspective of knowledge of a range of interventions, in terms of what is the best way of actually dealing with treatment currently. And the Medical Research Council, for example, has done extensive research on that without being in the field directly of providing treatment. So they look at treatment modalities that they are currently, but they also look at international best practice in terms of harm reduction strategies, and can offer useful information. I also found that, for example, and I hope my colleagues don't think that I'm prejudging some of the issues, but for example, the deputy chair of the current board was an academic in pharmacology. Was very useful in terms of the various type of issues that you find from the kinds of issues that you get through the medical research. I think those are the kind of issues that we do find useful. In terms of the industry and business, we would look at whether it's a retail institution, the same light as we see. So it doesn't matter if it's the bottle store owner or South African brewery. It's a similar level of conflicts of interest that we really seek to avoid. And in fact, we're hoping to submit to Cabinet a broader policy issue around broadly conflicts of interest across government related to substance abuse, including alcohol. So that's a big issue. So we hopefully the CDA can't have that kind of issue if we hope Cabinet will accept what we propose to them on those kinds of issues. There's a couple of other comments that I'll come back to, but government representatives is what I think there was a question on the government representatives. That in itself is a challenge that we need to deal with, because what we found also is that even, as my colleague says, there's no vetting process at this level around government representatives. So what we found is that generally junior officials who attend were nominated, and attendance is low, follow-up is low within the departments, and that impacts, for example, on how the provincial drug master plans are then implemented and developed. So I think we've got a different set of challenges that we'll have to take up. For example, what worked very differently within the technical committee supporting the interministerial committee is that it was then attended by Director General and Chief Directors and Deputy Director General, and it made an enormous difference in the rate of decision making that was taking place there.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll try to deal with statistics that were not covered by the vein. When we refer to industry, I think he mentioned it's all the industries that are working in the area of substance abuse, not necessarily alcohol. I think he just gave an example around alcohol, but there are others within the alcohol industry, drug industry, tobacco industry, and everything. On the cosmetics and food, I don't have an answer. I don't want to lie to the committee members today. In terms of also pharmaceutical experts, the only person we had with this knowledge previously, it was the deputy chair from the university, was a lecturer on in this area. So we would be happy if in terms of the nomination, but they again, it mustn't be the industry part of it, because there is some industries that are running, you know, that are within this area of work, which are a bit controversial. So we need to make sure that if it's a it must be from the research area or from the academic institution. That will assist us a lot. What motivated us to propose for security checks and declaring business interests is that, as you have seen those categories, some members will come with vested interest in the authority itself. Remember, in the authority there are policy decisions that are made, and sometimes they will push for a particular policy decision, and at the end you'll find that somehow they benefit in terms of that particular policy decision that has been taken. Let's say we talk detoxification policy, for instance, within that context. Those people who are running treatment centers, they've got first-hand information, and they manipulate also how this policy should be so that it fits within their area of work. So those are some of the things that we have picked up. So we think maybe if they go through vetting and also through security checks, some of the things can be picked up. And we also felt that issues of resources also come into play as members, because the 12 experts, because they are from the private sector, are paid a stipend. Yes. So sometimes, even if there's no need to meet, you will question the meeting, but they will create some work so that they meet, because they know that if they meet for so many hours, then they will be claiming a certain amount. So those are some of the things that we have been observing every time. So we're trying to tighten up where, because the legislation is still weak. It doesn't allow us to tighten up through the legislation. So you have to come up with certain measures that are broad and accepted to really try to assist the process. I think some of the issues raised by honourable members were comments that we accept. For instance, not to restrict the categorization. As I indicated, that categorization is not in the act. So it's something we can easily do away with. We just wanted to show members so that we don't keep the information away from you. Meanwhile, the advert had certain categories there. So, but I think we all agree that those categories really do not help us in trying to get expertise that we want. Because you are bogged down with categories, you lose expertise because you want to cover certain areas. So, but I think with this process, we're just saying let the committee use its own discretion, but considering that we're proposing that they can disregard the categorization and just select the best out of the pool of 61 that we have received the CVs from. In terms of existing members that have applied, when I looked at the CVs, I think they are four. So what we do, we usually do an evaluation of each one of them before you do the interview, so that you have an idea of what honorable voters have made. Those issues are going to be there. So we're going to send the committee the evaluation of each of the existing members that have applied in terms of how they were functioning, whether they were attending meetings, the contributions they've been making, whether we think that they are appointable or not, then the committee can still make its own decision or recommendation. The National Drug Master Plan, during the last year of of the term of office of the authority, they begin to draft. Because well, if they can wait for the new one, it means there will be no work when they come in. It means either we use the previous plan or we say there's a draft. So what happens is that before their term of office expires, we need a draft to be presented to the minister to say, here's a draft, because we believe that they've been implementing, they've identified gaps, and they know what should be improved. Then when the new board comes in, what they do, because this is a broad plan, they come with specific terms of the plan, deliverables for the 5 years, based on the national draft master plan, and how they work around their systems, how they're going to work better to make sure that the master plan is implemented. Whether it's the best way or not, it's something else, but that's what currently is happening. Before they are final, they move out, they present a draft plan. Local drug action committee. We said that 328, it was before the demarcation. I'm saying so because it's in the document, in the National Drug Master Plan. But in terms of the demarcation, there's supposed to be 238. Currently we have 215 that are have been established and active. The provincial forums, all of them are working, 9 of them, but I must say provinces are at different levels. We cannot say they are not there. They are there, but functioning effectively is one other thing. Because I can see provinces are trying to adopt a strategy where forums are going to be located within the premier's office. KZN is also one example. They just recently indicated that the premier has adopted the forum to say, let all the mayors account for the work they do based on the local drug action committees within their municipalities. So they will be presenting reports and all this. So we think it's one best practice that we can copy. I'm not sure if Western Cape there was that move, but I'm not sure now if it's still the same. It was in the city of Cape Town, not necessarily in the premier's office. But I think provinces are moving towards making sure, because they think it's best coordinated at the premier's office. In terms of knowledge and extensive, I think Rain tried to deal with it, but for now, trust members are the ones that are clearly subjected to the issue of knowledge and extensive. Because with departments, the minister just appoints a person who deals with that function within the department. Because that's all you need. You need a person who works within that area. They might not have a person with extensive knowledge, because somehow they are not directly involved. For example, within the Justice Department, they will give us a person who's working in the court services to stay on the board. So it's something that we need to relook, because we still experience challenges, because they just appoint or nominate any other person who works within that area, but they are not active, because some of them they think substance abuse is not their core mandate. They treat it as a by the way thing. So it's something that we need to strengthen. Why we stressing trade unions? I think there was an issue around advocacy and even issues of workers' rights, because we're saying also workers do abuse substance. The issues of them losing their jobs, productivity, you know. So the thinking was if we include trade unions, they will assist us in communicating the policies and the messages out there, but purely on that basis. As I said, it falls within the category that you can do away with, but that was the objection. There was an issue of code of conduct. I think it's something we need to consider. If they sign the declaration of interest, there should be a code of conduct that they also sign as they come in. Yeah, there were issues raised about how is this board going to be effective. I think Honorable Waters and Honorable Waters raised those issues. Okay. Annual reports are late, research documents are late. How do we think this one will work better? We're just hoping that as you appoint, you assist us in choosing the best people that will really be committed and work and assist us to deliver in terms of time set. Because every year, really, the reports come very late in terms of presentations. I cannot say how are we going to guarantee that they're going to do things differently, but we believe that if we get the best people, committed people, we will also play our part and make sure they deliver on what they expected to deliver. Thank you. If I left something, I will. There was an area of meetings. I think we said we'll analyze that and submit a report. Mm-hmm. Attending a meeting for me says nothing. We need to analyze deeper to say, yes, you said in 30 meetings, but how? What was your contribution? So we're just going to have an evaluation for each one and then send it to the committee. Mm-hmm.
So just in terms of accountability, what is the outcome of the last 2 years? And we've seen a rapid improvement in, for example, action and reporting around the local drug or the mini drug master plan. Is when we required the CDA to report directly to the Interministerial Committee on progress. So the chair or the deputy chair of the board would have been asked to attend and make those presentations. And because at that level you found deputy ministers with ministers from all the government departments, I think, when a plan was missing, it was quite glaring. So we found that to be working. So it's also something in terms of the accountability loop that we need to look at in terms of the CDA. Because you have the CDA on one hand, which is an entity created by statute, which has no team, which has no levels of authority, or no levels of authority. But at the same time, the accountability loop is also weak in itself. We need to look at those issues as well. That's not necessarily going to help you in terms of making the decisions about to sit on the board, but I think it's important for us to put that on the agenda.
Okay.
I'm going to know. There's a question raised by the what is it? Okay, in what ways does the CDA, what power does it have why is it referred to as an authority? Does it? No, I have questions. It doesn't. Maybe I don't understand the full of the authority as such. So, in what way does it exercise that authority as an authority? Can it prescribe what? Okay, how much alcohol should be in whiskey? That's what I don't understand.
Thank you. That's the last question, Jose Mara.
Thank you. Let me start with the last question. In fact, they can prescribe the alcohol content, for example. The only organization that can do that is, ironically, the Department of Agriculture. This is part of the challenge we face throughout government on the issues, and I think this is why, for example, in the alcohol area, we're pushing for a harmonized act so that the issues dealing with alcohol is pushed under one piece of legislation. At the moment, we're dealing with it on a very collegiate basis through the Interministerial Committee, and it's working to a certain extent. But at the same time, what the Central Drug Authority can do is advise the minister around measures to reduce alcohol and substance abuse. And in the past, you'll find that there has been lots of focus on illicit drugs. So it's questions of your illegal drugs that the CDA really focused on enormously. Increasingly, we've pushed the alcohol issues onto the agenda. The tobacco issues have always been on the agenda, but really we've been dealing with the issues of of illegal drugs and not too controlled substances like tobacco and alcohol to a certain extent. We've possibly also not dealt with the abuse of legal prescription drugs, whether it's for beauty products or for other uses. But it's really about the sort of the slide updates about the scale of abuse, what can we do about treatment, what can we do about prevention, and the kind of focus I keep on stressing this, the kind of focus that the Interministerial Committee of the last 18 to 24 months has pushed has also helped the CDA change its focus, both from a research perspective and from a reporting perspective.
Thanks, Honourable Members. I think just to add on what Zain has said, I must also say we're sitting here with a very old act. What I'm presenting in terms of their powers and functions is what is in the old act. And what members are raising, those are the realities. And unfortunately, they are not included as part of their functions or powers currently. So we're also relooking, trying to reposition to say, how best can this authority, if we need it, how best can it assist us to really fight substance abuse in the country? So we will later come back to the committee with proposals, but currently we're using this current act to make sure that there's no vacuum. We just don't leave things. If you try to improve things, you don't just throw everything out. You say, how best can I work with what is available?
Just very interested in the issue of pathways at the penicillin in foods. The issue of penicillin, which is a drug, and we have phosphate, which is also an agricultural product that is also used in the food. Right? So if someone found through the voltages that maybe the Russian in one supermarket has a very abnormal level of phosphate, and South Africa is starting to blow it off because of it. What department is responsible to investigate the matter, and if so, withdraw the product from the market and from the shop? So,
thank you, Honourable Member. It's Department of Health.
The penicillin and the phosphate.
Yes, they've got legislation in place that they use. Yes.
So you have agriculture and health on those issues.
Agriculture is not.
I'm talking about alcohol.
Yeah.
That's when we had the, as if you remember correctly, the issue of that cheap sour wine, the quality of pasta. That was so. That was actually an outdoor by the Department of Agriculture. So those are the two major departments.
Yeah.
So we need a CDA which is a lot more powerful and authoritative than the current one is. And I think that's why my colleague talks about an old act. It's an act which perhaps tended to be neglectful of the scale of the issue and what is needed. The Interministerial Committee, as we say, is collegiate. It's useful in the sense that it's a presidential oversight and ministerial oversight and action. But we may need to come back to you with a recommendation about what kind of body do we need in terms of the CDA. You know, when we talk about the minor flaws like the fact that annual reports are late, that's symptomatic of the fact that you've got the CDA located within the department, it's headed by a secretariat, which is maybe three or four people, if at all that much, so there's a resource issue. We've got 12 people from government, which are generally
full-time
employees, but not necessarily the people with the right competencies. We hope to get 12 people from the private sector, but I think we need to look at the entity itself, its location. Do you need a more full-time kind of authority that can work across all government departments? Give you an example, the people from South African Police Services who sit on the board are very useful. It is the level of a deputy commissioner. That kind of input is very, very useful. And we meet with them separately as well on issues that they can't necessarily talk to at the CDA because we're not sure about the vetting issues of the members. So, you know, for example, they'll be telling us about border issues and what are they doing about tracking pharmaceutical mass suppliers of ephedrine, those kind of issues. Which ephedrine is used to manufacture amphetamines and things, those kind of issues. So we need an authority that has that level of power with the appropriate vetting for both public officials and the people coming from the private sector.
Well, thank you very much, going to the draft drawing program of the portfolio of the activities on social products and social development of the candidates of the Justice Authority. When we have such a candidate, we need to just finish with this process. If you look at the program funding for consideration, for today, precisely what we're doing is the adoption of the program, obviously for the first part. And then if you look on Thursday, will be the discussions on shortlisting and interview process of candidates to serve on the CDA board. We will also look at questions, possible questions for interviews. So that we know we won't be asked for questions that we are looking for questions that are relevant to the candidates. In terms also of comeback and legal processes, we will encourage in terms of that we couldn't be compliant kind of questions. That's when we get to on. The finalization of shortlisting. Friday, candidates and interview process of candidates to serve on the board. If you feel that maybe you want to work the whole day from 9:30 to 5 o'clock and you get more squeeze in the work, Friday, I think you can do so. I'm sure when we meet on Thursday, those are the things that we go on. On June 2014, we had interviews with candidates itself on the CDA board. We had 15 interviews again. Friday, we were also happy to have interviews. Tuesday, the 28th, deliberation with the organization of candidates served on the CDA board and discussed the adoption of the committee report of candidates served on the CDA board, which I think, in terms of the security check and the meeting process for the members of the board, it should be ample time to do that. Once we've done the shortlist, because we need to have the outcome of the meeting process before we can decide on the committee that should be appointed for the recommendations for the candidates. So that is the process that has been worked out by the committee secretary has told you what I think the legal advice and also looking at the previous process that we have starting out of the previous things. So members, that is the draft road problem. So it's going to be a very busy month on the check for us to finish this work. Honourable Walter?
Chair, I support the programme. Can I just make one additional recommendation? I didn't raise it in our committee meeting, because I'll just thought of it now. The week of the 6th of August, that week we're not doing anything as far as this process is concerned. But I do feel it's important that we, if one for a better word, have a meeting or with the current board that's going on, sort of an exit interview to find out what their frustrations were, their challenges, their achievements were, to get an idea of what we should look out for. I think it's very important. And also for them to come and report back on the annual report, because this will be the last opportunity. They haven't done it yet. I don't know if I've got it into the committee, but I think it's vitally important that before we finish this process, we actually meet with the current board and interrogate them as well on the annual report and also on their experience over the last 5 years. And I would suggest, if I may, Chair, that Wednesday the 8th, is we would normally meet on a Wednesday, we're not doing anything that day. On the 8th.
But that's on the light note. But I understand what you are saying. We had the annual report has been tabled and it was on the program committee, but we have to push everything in place so that we can accommodate the process. Honorable
Yeah, you will also understand from our side that we are very few in our committee and serve in many other different committees. So from time to time you won't find us maybe four as we are today. Sometimes we come to two, three, or sometimes one. But especially I'm looking on Tuesdays and Wednesdays because it's our committee, and if the four of us who are not present in that committee won't be able to sit at all, and that will pile up work for that committee. So I just wanted to sensitize the committee to understand that we have that challenge. And also I want to propose that the draft questions can be developed maybe tomorrow whilst we are waiting for Thursday, so that we don't spend a lot of time on testing, developing questions from here. Maybe our support staff can assist us with the assistance of the two chapters
and check for the combination to draft questions so that when work will be taking place, a proposed draft to the committee to see that they were at work, and also accommodate what you are recommending that we might consider clubbing the work for Friday together with the festival so that on Friday you are free to go to our constituency.
Can I just ask, I know that you have in terms of the day that has been proposed, because we lose that problem with the debt, would you have another proposal? Because you said to me that you have, I think you have holistic education and health, and social development, so it's four. So in terms of, if you look at Tuesday, you said Tuesday for your portfolio submission, because if you are not present at the interview, it's going to compromise.
All of us,
it's
107, all of us, that's one.
And we need to be there. In terms of
the whole call.
Yes.
At all times. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we'll do our best to try to be
together.
All four of us, because it seems the chairperson of the entrepreneur knows that they give us the
Can we be excused?
Yes. But the joint committee report that we began about that. So, in essence, we do not have problems with the project. So you will have to commit yourself to the state. But you can push, I think if you look at Friday, to work on it down by Thursday, as you said, we have 2 days. I think even as we get into the pace of the interviews, we could see we've got 3 days of interviews without you. Yeah. Tuesday, because the reason why we stopped at 4:01 is because we have a session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Friday, and Tuesday. So we need to have a balancing act. Yeah.
We have a session on Wednesday. If you want to, we could condense that the Friday into the Tuesday topic.
Yeah.
You know, if we could sit for 5 on Tuesday.
Which Friday?
No, just generally, because if we did Tuesday the 14th, for example, we could put it to 1.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wednesday we're sitting for 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sittings in both days.
See, the legislation for me, because that's the thing that the work for the other part of the is but I'm off the top of my head, do you have legislation in both houses? I just have 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock on the Tuesday.
We looked at the parliamentary calendar. Some of the Tuesdays, the plenaries in press registration, and when they pass registration, don't allow the bus to cut from the house. But I will check for Wednesday. Can I just double check for the chairman?
Yeah, so we also took the material, the secretary should into that. And then we can maybe, if we can squeeze a few hours in on the day, going to help.
Mm.
But we also don't want to compromise the importance of the house. But in some cases, if we can be excused to continue the work, I'm sure that's definitely allowed. But I think the commitment should be that we should make a deadline by the 31st of August. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble with the legality of the board, because the term now has been difficult to change. So, yeah, but then a little music. Can I get a call on the second half for this part? Or is it unanimous?
Just on last, the point does through the program with the meeting with the board, the current board. When we've got it. I really think it's very. And if we can't meet on the 8th, can I suggest the 7th?
No, what we're going to do is. We're going to meet with the old board and because the term only expires in September, it's going to be a board. It's part, you remember the parliamentary the program we had? So that will be accommodated in
September. Okay, I hear you, Jay, but would it be better if we met them before we start the, well, just the beginning of this process, so we get an idea, it would assist us as well, I think. Yeah. And also, we'd be able to hold to account the four members that are wanting to stand for re-election. I think, yeah, I think it would be better.
The problem is that you're going to unfairly disadvantage them if you're going to do that, because you're going to have an evaluation of the members. Right? We can have a meeting with them. Those four members will be part of the board. But you can't also have that meeting with them in terms of our process being involved. So we have to have a balance in terms of this. And that to me is going to cover us in the long run.
Some of us are not very, very familiar with the workings of the committee. And I think we would like to interact with the board as these to know what they've been doing, what they're with, what, you know, just to get a feel really of the work of the committee. Now, I was thinking that maybe the suggestion that we should just meet with the committee, at least have a report from them to hear what they are working like. Also to have a sort of a more intimate understanding of the work of the committee. And then, but you should to address your concern that should not really influence us insofar as the four who have reapplied. It's mainly to understand the work of the committee as it is. Not that really that we do that with the intention of evaluating those four.
The annual reports on the CDA as it says in our hub. So if it's I'm sure it will also be on your journey. So that will really cover the issue. So that is the rule. It's a board, not a committee. So the board will be coming with the Department of Social Development. You see, that's just a straightforward board. So they will be coming and presenting on their performance with regard to the annual report and their table of late. So if the advocacy committee is interpreted as the following committee, you will have to sit and meet with them. And precisely that same committee will have to come and explain to us on the performance with regards to the expenditure and with regard to the performance as well. In terms of the annual report. So that is already on the card. I think what would help me is to read the annual report. Get it from the clock of paper and read the annual report just to get some background, because I think today's presentation should also have helped you. And then look at the Amended Act of 2008, although it doesn't have an impact on the CDA, the composition of the CDA. But I think if you look at substance abuse, that is why the minister is involved in reshaping policy and we are all debating the committee, because precisely there is a move towards a repositioning around policy issues when it comes to sustainability, precisely because we are challenged all the time. I think when this role was passed, this act was passed in 1992, there was no hearing on it whatsoever in South Africa. I think healthcare just emerged as such things now you have sugars, you have Puba, you have cut, you have all these such things that are now on the market. So clearly, as a country, we have to reposition ourselves in terms of such things.
Honourable, the chairperson always wants to say that they are So most of this is still foreign to the within the learning
process. Oh, thank you very much, Honourable. Honourable Joseph, I just wanted to support you to say this is for our purpose of having the policy in such a way, because I have a feeling that the mind influences our minds, the mind influences our minds, and it's to our program and also to read the report. You will learn, it's still too early for you, don't worry. We were like you when you were telling me. You were okay, thank you very much. Thank you, I'm going to listen to you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Apology.
Apology. Mm. Okay.
Also, we have one in Kamala Kanang, and then Makunya, Bekon, and Rokon.
Okay,
okay.
Okay.
M-A-K.
Mm-hmm.
Nyane, N-Y-A-N-E.
Okay, and Limpopo,
N-C-O-P.
A-N-C.
Okay.
Yeah, what is O-P? Right, O was the M-P. Okay. Then apology to De Villiers, M-J-R, De Villiers. Okay. Thank you very much.
You born in Alema?
A-P? Yeah, when you born in Alema.
Thank you.